So we're discussing the wonderfully attractive and charmingly sweet qualities of Krishna. This is 16th quality of Krishna, Daksha. This is 2188, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, November 1st, 2011. Tushkare Shiprakari Yas Tam Daksham Parichakshate. A person is considered daksha, or expert, if he can do very quickly what is difficult to do. Example from 10:59:17 Dasama Skanda. Yani yode prayuktani shastrani kurudvaha haristan yachanat tikshne shreya ekaika shastribi. Lord Hari then struck down all the missiles and weapons that the enemy soldiers threw at him. O hero of the Kurus, Krishna destroyed each and every one of them with three sharp arrows. So we'd love to see what the Acharyas would say on those. Why three arrows? He destroyed each and every one of them with three arrows. One arrow, he destroyed their Aparabdha karma from previous lives. One arrow is Parabdha karma, this life. And one arrow, any future births, which Aparabdha causes. So past, present, and future are annihilated by three arrows. Then what happens then? Liberation. So when Krishna would kill an enemy on the battlefield, what would happen? The Shastras say they get mukti, liberation. So I guess it takes three arrows to make sure they don't go up and come back down. Just knock them down. Oh, wait a minute, I have a little more karma. Hey! Out for good. No past, no present, no future. Takes three. One, two, three. So we should pray for those arrows to shoot us. There's no Aparabdha, no Parabdha, no future birth. So that arrow is there. There's three arrows. One is called Hare, one is called Krishna, and the third one is Ram. You know these arrows? Mahaprabhu has three arrows in his quiver and he's shooting everyone. Hare! Oh, Krishna! Oh. Rama! Ah! Rama means Raman. So once you're liberated, then you can enjoy Raman. Raman means intimate conjugal vilas with Radha and Krishna as their eternal servant. Hare, oh, my past lives. Krishna, oh, my wife and kids. My ashram. My whatever, my pratishtha. My puja, what about my guru puja? My money, my dakshina. Lobe. And my guru twa, chum, ah, Krishna. And then Rama, ah, Rama. Wow, it's beautiful up here. No ego, no mind trips. No, it's all his, and we're all his, and it's all love, love. Those are the three arrows. The enemies he kills with his chakra, the devotees he loves with his lotus. He has chakra. He knocks off their heads and then he's so excited about it, he blows a conch shell. Ha! Look what I did. A conch shell and a chakra for demons. And if he throws a chakra at them, they still get up. Hey, what's this? And he takes a club. But the devotee's madhurya. Conch shell is not madhurya. Ha! It's not madhurya. For the devotees, there's a lotus. Padma lochan. Padmanabha, lotus mouth, lotus navel, lotus-eyed lord, Pundarikaksha. Lotus for the devotees. First you cut their head off and still they're wiggling. Like somebody cut a chicken, he wiggles. So these chicken soldiers, you cut their heads off, they wiggle. So you take your club, pop! Smash him, mix up his blood with a club. That's what it says. He uses a club for killing the demons and mixing their blood. his gutta. Pop. Oh, nice. Stir it up. Pah! And then when no one saw, hey, wait a minute. Wah! Hey, what's all that noise? Look what I did. Hey, good. Ha ha. Hey, Ajita Krishna ki. Achyuta Krishna ki. But the devotee, boink. Ah. Leela Kamala, toy lotus. Krishna has one. Radha has one. Krishna's lotus is his mind. Radha plays with it. Radha's lotus is her mind. Krishna plays with it. We are a plaything in the hand of Krishna. We are a plaything in the hand of Radha. They twirl our minds. They spin our minds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare, Hare, Hare. And the people chant like that also. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare. Because the Maha Mantra is twirling their minds. They're really getting the full effect of Radha's twirl and Krishna's twirl. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I remember I was in a temple somewhere where they do like this too much. And one person was wearing glasses. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he went like that. And the glasses went, whoo. And they went sliding across the floor. And he was so absorbed in the nectar of the name that he didn't even notice it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I was sitting there watching. I said, this is an amazing sight here. And everybody was so into the twirling that I was the only one that saw it. So I thought I should do one good deed for the day. So I went over and picked up his glasses and I put them back on next to his thing. Because I wasn't so absorbed. Like, I was just like sleeping type in his. Daigur, 16th quality of Krishna. He's expert. So we heard that example that Krishna struck down all the missiles and weapons of the enemy soldiers threw at him. Ah, oh hero of the Kurus. He destroyed each and every one of them with 3 sharp arrows. So we're also enemies of the Kurus. Kurus means Krishna's family. Are we enemies of the Achyuta Gotra? Damn straight. Big time. If we're envious, we're an enemy. If we're greedy, we're an enemy. If we're lusty, we're an enemy of the Kuru Kula. So then we have to get struck down. Our envy must be struck down. Our greed must be struck down. Our anger must be struck down. Tong, tong, tong. Prabhupada says, induction means any person who can quickly execute a very difficult task is called expert. Shukadeva Goswami is telling Maharaj Pariksit. So you find out who, what, when, where, why. What happened and who? Okay, Krishna. Well, who's speaking it? Oh, okay. Prabhupada tells us. Oh, best of the Kurus. So who's the best of the Kurus? Who is speaking to whom? Who is speaking to whom? Shukadev is speaking to Pariksit. So Shukadev said, Sri Shukavashi said, oh, best of the Kurus. Then the question, very tricky question, extremely tricky. Who is the best of the Kurus? Pariksit. Now that's what I call attentive hearing. Oh, best of the Kurus. Sri Krishna cut to pieces all the different weapons used by different fighters. That's it. Very personal. Krishna struck down the missiles and weapons that the enemy soldiers threw at him. It's kind of like touching your nose like this, huh? It's not so personal to touch your nose like that. It takes a long time and it kind of doesn't work. I just go like that. I say, oh, that's nice. It's very personal. So Prabhupada's translations are like fingertip to nose. I mean, they're straight. They're straight. They're clear. They're personal. They're rasa-filled. Of course, by the end of this, I have a small table selling Prabhupada's books. If anybody doesn't have them, I'll give you a discount. So it's every when Prabhupada said everything is in his books, because what is actually everything? Is everything knowledge? No. Is everything philosophy? No. Is everything logic, gyan, reason, removing doubts? No. Everything is love. Everything is bhav. The substratum of everything is love. The purpose of everything is love. Everything exists for love. And the full perfectional usage of every object and every entity is to engage in a loving service of the Supreme Loving Personality of God, is Sri Krishna. This is the purpose. Prem Purushottam. So therefore, when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, obviously we do get knowledge and we do get logical presentation, systematic presentation. We learn history and tradition and so many wonderful tattvas, all the various tattvas from Vaishnava tattva and Sadachara tattva to Prem Ras tattva. But what we really get is what's between the lines. It's not what the book says, but what's between the lines. It's not what you chant, but it's what's inside your chanting.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
There's nothing in your chanting. But is your chanting suffused with Sharanagati? Is your chanting suffused with realization, sambandha, and with feelings and submission? Then there's something deep in that chanting. It's not what you do that counts. It's how you present what you do. So Prabhupada, what we really get, of course we get all these things undoubtedly, but the way I take it is which I'm already intimating. When Prabhupada says that everything's in my books, because some people might say, well, I don't find all the deep science of Jyotirveda there. I don't find the deep science of Ayurveda there. So how can you say everything? You can have your Jyotirveda, Ayurveda. You can have your astronomy. Oh, the fifth canto presentation of creation and the universal structure and all these things. It's not modern, doesn't gel with modern science. Who cares? You can take your modern science. That will satisfy your heart. That will give you restful nights, peaceful nights, hopeful hearts, satisfied mind. No way. Never, never, ever. But Prabhupada's books are full of bhav. Bhakti Vedanta. Bhav and rasa. This is everything. And Prabhupada says everything is in my books. Why are you going elsewhere? Because we're looking, why are we looking for gyan? We're looking for knowledge? Looking for logical presentation? Oh, this book is presented much more logically in Bhakti Vedanta Swami's. I can show you so many books. By expert writers, systematic German, American, etc. writers, very systematically present bhakti tattva. But it's dry, it's near us, because they're mundane people with no footing in the spiritual world and no purity of chit, our heart. So it's the heart, it's not the externals, it's not the cover. Don't judge a book by its cover, the cover of the words. Not just book cover, it doesn't mean the cover of the words. It doesn't mean the cover of the cloth, it doesn't mean the cover of the skin. It doesn't mean the cover of mind, it doesn't mean the cover of the heart, of the booty or mind. What is the cover of the Atma? Is the Atma coated and drenched with bhava and prema and sharanagati and dedication and shraddha? Prabhupada said, I didn't do anything. All I had was Shraddha. And everyone knows that Shraddha is the seed of prema. So if you have a mango seed, in enough time it becomes prema. So he said, all I had was faith. I only had faith in two things. I had complete faith in the Guru Agya. And the order and words of my spiritual master. And I had complete faith in the holy name of Krishna. Which means I had complete faith in Sri Guru and Sri Bhagavan. Bhagavan Shraddha, Guru Shraddha. So that Shraddha becomes bhakti. Bhakti becomes bhav. Bhav becomes prem. So in his own humble way he's saying, I had complete love for my Gurudev. When I say I have complete faith in the words of my guru, it means I completely love the words of my guru and I love my guru. Guru Bhakti, Guru Premi. Guru Premi, Guru Bhakti. And when someone says, I have complete faith in the holy name, it means complete faith. What is complete? And say, I have faith. Oh, yeah, I have faith in the holy name. Complete faith. San Shraddha, San, whatever you say. Purna Shraddha, complete faith. That means that Shraddha Bijam within my purified, surrendered heart has become Prem. Shraddha, faith becomes oh, I have faith in this person. If I marry him, he will love me. So I agree to the proposal. I marry. I instill my faith. And I was right. I had some initial faith. I committed myself, gave my body, life, words, everything, life. Changed my name, changed my house, changed my family. Gave my body to my husband with faith. And what's happened now after 20 years? I love him. He loves me. You follow? Shraddha is a seed of love. You understand? Is it something complicated? It's an everyday working principle. So it's not some esoteric of bhakti tattva. Shraddha, prema. Simple. So when Prabhupada says, I have complete faith in my husband. What is complete? I have faith in my husband. How much? Well, some. He really looks at that secretary in ways that I don't like. So my faith is a little bit not so pukka. No, I have complete faith in my husband. Faith means trust, love and trust. Faith means trust and confidence. Faith, belief, trust, confidence, love. A true loving relationship is built on two pillars, trust and confidence, and the foundation is faith. Faith, trust and confidence. And the rooftop is prema. And inside lives a pure husband and a pure wife, a pure devotee and this pure loving relationship with Pavitram Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He lives in the house of prema. And Prabhupada says, I have complete faith in the holy names. I have complete love for Radha and Krishna appearing their Nam Roop. Because I love the holy name, and because I'm chanting prema Nam and Shuddha Nam, the whole world is getting drenched in Krishna's love. And the whole world is taking up the instructions of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. All I did was give him one book, give him some piece of paper, 1400-page manuscript, became Bhagavad Gita. As it is. And everyone's saying, these are the instructions. My love for my guru's instructions, which are Krishna's instructions, are so deep and so absorbed and so realized that all my love for those instructions and all my bhakti for those instructions went into my purports and went into my translations, and now it's that love is inundating the world in 100 languages. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So this is daksha. Prabhupada's translation is so expert. Two things that are very difficult to do very quickly. Now, Prabhupada gives a purport on this, as he did in the Bhaktivedanta magazine in the Pioneer Years, or whatever they call it. And they have those in that special archives edition, they have the early Bhagavad, Bhaktivedanta hand-printed lithograph, whatever it was, early publication. And Prabhupada's doing verse by verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, word verse, and then translation, word for word, and then word for word meaning, then translation, then a purport on each verse. Went to about 11 verses or so. So he's continuing here. This is the verse, this is the reference. And following this reference, there's no Tika by Sri Jiva Goswami. He goes on to 2190 with another reference on this to support and explain the same quality of Krishna, the 16th quality of Daksha. Rupa Goswami Pad cites another Bhagavatam verse as praman, evidence and proof of the expertise and daksha gun of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And that one, Jiva Goswami writes a purport. But in this particular one, Prabhupada writes a purport. Translation again. Shukadev tells Parikshit, Oh Parikshit, you're the best of the Kurus. Do you know that Sri Krishna cut to pieces? Who is Sri Krishna in relation to Parikshit? Grand uncle, because Parikshit is the son of Abhimanyu. It goes like this. It's a family relation. So he's saying, you know, your family member, your dynasty, you know, the Bhagavan Sri Krishna, you know how wonderful he is, you know how great he is? And Parikshit's saying, oh, tell me about my grand uncle. Tell me about my grandfather. Oh, you know, my grandfather, you don't know. Like, I'm here at Radhakunda. My grandfather was such a great devotee. He knows so many thousands. He knows Ayurveda and Jyotirveda. He had thousands of disciples, but I'm his grandson, and that's my good fortune. I'm nothing like my grandfather. You ever hear people speak like this? Yes. Everywhere, in every country. My grandfather, my grandmother, this. Yeah, my grandmother was a great devotee and this and that. But I just go to discos, but my grandmother's a great devotee. At least you can remember your grandmother when you die, maybe. So he's telling him, he's making him happy. Because guess where he's going? He's about to die. So it's nice to have some happy feelings when you die. Especially as Krishna Gata, so he's getting filled with love and prema. And satisfying his aching heart, who wants to hear about Krishna, who just so happens to be his great uncle. Bhagavan, God is his uncle. Uncle. Grand uncle. He says, listen, do you know, Prakshin, Sri Krishna, he cut to pieces all the different weapons used by different fighters, because Prakshin's a Kshatriya, he's a fighter. So you come from a great lineage, a Kaurava dynasty of great fighters. Listen to your great uncle. This was arrows cut into pieces. And Prakshin, yeah, cut into pieces. He's a Kshatriya, they relish these things. War talk, killing, murder the enemy. And my grand uncle, he was expert at it. That's where I got my ability also. Because Prakshin was a fantastic fighter. That probably gives a purport. Formerly, so you can take this as a purport of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or you can take this as Prabhupada's purport to the 10th canto, 59th chapter, 17th verse, which he didn't do. You can say verse by verse. He finished in Krishnamala Mandir in November, chapter 13 of the 10th canto, Sanskrit translation verse about the coward voice, about Brahma Vimohan Leela, about Lord Brahma stealing the coward voice, and that was too much ecstasy churning in Prabhupada's heart, so he went to join the coward boys, or he went to join the coward girls, or he went both places. Anyway, he decided, now I'm absorbed in this Mimohan Leela of Krishna becoming everyone's son and becoming everyone's baby calf, Vatsa, to nourish their Vatsalya Rasa of Gomata and the mothers, the Gwal, mother gopis. So absorbed in that Leela, then Prabhupada left during Pradosh Kal. No, it's during Shayan Leela when Krishna returns with Krishna's in the barn milking the cows and taking his evening meal. Prabhupada entered the Nitya Leela at 7:20 p.m., November 14th. So he says that formerly fighting was done by releasing different kinds of arrows. One party would release a certain arrow, and the other party had to defeat it by counteracting it with another arrow. For example, one party might release an arrow which would cause water to pour from the sky. That's nice. Drown your opponent. Hey, I hope you can swim. You know, they're fighting. Hey, Jack, I hope you know how to swim. Boom! Huh? What are you talking about? It's like 10,000 million liters fall on your head, and 2 seconds you're under 20 feet of water. That's what it means. It doesn't mean, oh, it's raining. Anyone have an umbrella? Pop. It's not like that. This is fighting. You're putting water on the enemy, the soldier. You're putting water on the head of the soldier, of the enemy, to drown him, to kill him. Marana, katam hogi haribo. So it's not a prem drishti, it's not a prem varsha, shower of love. It's a shower of death. I drown you, rascal. So it's like a flash flood. Say you're standing outside a dam and it opens up. Is only going to come out a little sprinkle? You're going to be inundated with 20-foot wave over your head and you're going to be under it. And you'll probably drown in the force of the whole thing. That's what was raining on the heads. That's a little ting, 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 ting. It's like pralaya, like some vartaka. Whoa! And so the weight of the water is so heavy, it weighs like 10,000 elephants. It says that the raindrops that Indra was throwing on Govardhan Hill were as big as elephants. So we're getting all these details. So I'll throw in some more. The raindrops were as big as elephants. I don't mean baby elephants. That's still a big raindrop. Isn't it? Would you like to have a baby elephant fall? I don't mind a baby elephant, but a big elephant raindrop, that's too big. So they were called Moti, what's it called? Moti Bindu or something like that, whatever. So this this raindrops, these big elephants were falling on Giriraj, and Giriraj was just thinking someone's scratching his back. He's going. So when someone scratches your back, does your hair fall off? No. If you have hair on your back, men or whatever. So on the back of Giriraj, there's so many trees and brush and grass. Not one hair fell off. Not one piece of grass fell off. An elephant fell on him and nothing happened. The elephant bounced off. So this is what it means when they shoot an arrow, you know, water, it's called water weapon. Jal, whatever. Bana, whatever. And then all this water would come on their head. So then you think, well, this is not a good idea. I'm getting too wet here. So when you counteract, so that would pour from the sky. And to counteract this, the opposing party would have to release an arrow, which can immediately turn the water into clouds. That's quick thinking. In other words, you see, hey, wait a minute. There's a lot of water coming down here really fast. And I got 2 seconds to turn it into vapor. Because cloud means vapor and water means semi-solid. It's solid. A cloud floats. Water doesn't float. So you're about to get drowned and just crushed by the weight of all this elephantine water. So they say, hey, what's it? And then it comes, all of a sudden it comes a cloud. And then this floats away and say, wow, that was close. And then what happens then? So from this statement, it appears that Krishna was very expert in counteracting the enemy's arrows. Similarly, now this is Prabhupada. So from this statement, it appears that Krishna was expert in counteracting the enemy's arrows. So now we're in Yudhya Vira Ras, which is a Gona Ras, Vira Ras, which means heroism, chivalry, and battle, which is one of the qualities of Krishna. He's relishing Vira Ras in the context of his Bhagavatwa with his enemies. And then from that Ras, then he goes into Madhura Ras. Because Vira Ras is like Shanta. He's not seeing that his enemies are his servants. It's not Dasyabhav. It's Shantaras. They're neutral. It's neutral. There's no intimacy there. There's no favorable Anukulya. I'm trying to kill you. And Dasya Rati and all the Ratis has to be Anukulya. Krishna Anukulya. Anukulya and Krishna Amshilam Bhakti Rittama. So they're enemies. So they're it's like Shantaras. So he's in Shantarati, which is a Mukhi Rati, he's relishing a Gonarati of Viraras. Of course, Adbhutara, it's amazing, Adbhuta, and so many other things overlapping. So he goes from there, because he's Rasika, he's Rasaraj, and he goes, okay, now let's relish Madhurya Ras, Parakya, Upapati Bhav. Similarly, at the Rasa dance, each and every gopi requested that Krishna individually become her partner, and Krishna immediately expanded himself into many Krishnas in order to be coupled with each and every gopi. The result was that each gopi found Krishna by her side. This is bhakti bhajan. In bhakti bhajan, we say that tesham sarata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamu piyanti te. Tesham sarata yuktanam. This is yukta. That's quite close. Tesham sarat, eternal union. Tesham sarat yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Beginning, if you want the purva, first purva rag, developing the intense love and separation. Then that intense love and separation propels one to do priti bhajan. Tesham sarat yuktanam, he wants that. Satatam, that's the prayojan. Tesham sarat yuktanam, the Bhagavad Gita, 10:10. Tesham satati yuktanam. Krishna defines the prayojana, the goal of bhakti yoga. Because chapter 10 is bhakti yoga section. Tesham satati yuktanam. This is the prayojana, this is the goal. Satatam yuktam means eternal union. What is the abhideya? Tesham satati yuktanam. So that's a nice proposal, have eternal union with the speaker of this verse. Who's speaking this verse? Krishna. Sri Krishna is speaking this verse to whom? To us, conditioned souls. Yes? Yes. Do you want to have eternal divine loving union with me? Yes. Tesham satata yuktanam. Then how? Bhajatam priti purvakam. Your priti, your love begins with purvarag. Bhajatam priti purvakam. Priti. First purva, then priti. Priti means prem. Priti sandarbha. Prem sandarbha. Radhe radhe. Tesham satata yuktanam. Bhajatam priti purvakam. Purva, purvakam, beginning with, prior. Purvarag, and then that purvarag, that because they have intense desire to attain, you have this understanding of sadhana tattva, the goal of sadhana. Sadhana sadhya tattva, the goal of sadhana is the sadhya. Yes, divine loving union and service to the center, Krishna. Then bhajatam priti purvakam. Then when that purvarag grows and the priti increases, that's your bhajan. That's the substance of your bhajan. Devotional bhajan. Devotional service. Japa devotional service. Puja devotional service. Reading devotional service. Devotional reading. Devotional hearing. Devotional chanting. Devotional puja. Dati pratigrinati. Bhunkte bhojayate cheva. Priti lakshanam. You heard this term. Priti lakshanam. Nectar instruction. He's telling, love the devotees, have priti for devotees. Because without any priti for the devotees, you cannot have priti for Bhagavan. You cannot enter Satatam Yuktana. Rupa Goswami is trying to tell you, you want to do priti bhajan, then you have to do priti seva. Sadvida priti lakshanam. Sadvida priti lakshanam. Isn't it? You know, nectar instruction. Tadati pratigrinati bhunkte bhojayate cheva guhyam akyati prichati. Tell your secrets, tell your secret attachments. Reveal to your beloved Shikshu and Diksha Gurus. What are your secret phantom attachments that you're afraid to tell anyone? It's too secret. I can't tell anyone. So then it will harass you and haunt you life after life. Pishachi. A witch, a ghost that never gets busted. I need a ghostbuster, they call it tantric in India. A guru is a ghostbuster. He busts the pishachi, the dual witches of bhukti and mukti. Bhukti and mukti are two witches. Bhukti, mukti, pishachi. Bhukti, mukti, pishachi. Pishachi means blood-sucking, murdering witch. Bhukti, sense gratification, sense enjoyment, is a blood-sucking, murdering witch. Bhukti, bhog, and mukti, desire for be God, be the temple president. Same thing. Position means godhood. Position means godhood. Pratishtata. Desire to be something other than das, das, anadas. This is mukti. I'm a servant, I want to be the master. I'm a laborer, I want to be the foreman. I'm a vice president, I want to own the company. Isn't it? That's a type of mukti. Be more than what you really are. I want to be Brahman, Narayan. But the devotee only wants the loving service of the Lord. That's not mukti. Bhakti has nothing to do with mukti. Mukti says... But Mukti says, I can't do anything. I stand, I have no, I can't even look at, Mukti says, I can't even look at the face of Bhakti. Krishna Karamrita Bilvanga is telling us, Mukti Mukuli Tanjali, Mukti Swayam, Mukuli Tanjali Sevate Sman. Mukti stands backside of Bhakti Devi. She can't come in the front. She's back there. Waiting with full Anjali, Pushpanjali, Mukti, Swayam, the personification of Mukti, Sharsti Mukti, Silokya Mukti, Sarupya Mukti, standing with folded hands, Dasasmi, begging for the opportunity. Mukti is begging for the opportunity to serve bhakti. And bhakti is only looking towards the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna and saying, Gopi, Bhartu, Padakamali, or Das, Das, and Odas. I will not turn my face at Mukti. You are on the backside of me. Fold your hands, do whatever you want. I don't even know you exist. Nadana, Najana, Nasundarim, Kaviram, Ba, Jagadisha, Kame, Mama, Janmani, Janmani, Shri, Bhavatad, Bhakti, Rahoita, Kitai. I want to die. I'd rather die than get Mukti. I'd rather get rebirth than get Mukti. I'd rather suffer the pain of growing up and get Mukti. I'd rather suffer the pain of another mother-in-law. The pain of another mother-in-law than get Mukti. Whatever. That's pretty painful. It's like the fire of 27 hells. So Prabhupada is giving us this nice thing that and that Rupa Goswami is telling. Next verse is the same. Oh, killer of Aghari, please dance only with me. Desiring to fulfill this request by all the gopis, Krishna quickly produced multitude of gopis and himself, going to a suitable place and performing the dance, but in the same manner that each one of the gopis without doubt saw him at her side alone. It's a rather crippled way to walk, but probably, as I said already. Similarly, at the rasa, probably just flows from one to the other. This is one rasa, now the highest rasa. Now we're showing Krishna's daksha character, daksha gun, and shanta ras, and chivalry of fighting. And similarly, now we'll show Krishna's daksha gun, his expertise and madhurya ras with the gopis. So that's where he really shows his vidagda, his chatur vidagda daksha. All his qualities shine like a brilliant sun in the presence of the gopis. And before other enemies or other lesser, lower caliber devotees, then Krishna's guna shines like the stars. But when he's with the gopis, his 64 qualities shine like the full moon in Sharad season. Glowing, radiant, soothing, beautiful, expansive, unlimited. Illuminating the entire universe. Krishna's qualities illuminate the whole universe when he's with the gopis. Prabhupada said, similarly at the rasa dance, each and every gopi requested that Krishna individually become her partner. And Krishna immediately expanded himself into so many Krishnas in order to be coupled with each and every gopi. The result was that each gopi found Krishna by her side in such a manner that each of the gopis, without a doubt, saw him at her side alone. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So tomorrow, by the grace of the Lord, we'll hear how Krishna is really grateful, which is obviously a divine quality, and since we're not very divine, we don't have much of this quality, most of us. Kritagya. Kritagya, gratitude. In English they say, don't bite the hand that feeds you. At least don't do that. Don't bite the hand that feeds you, and even better, try to be grateful for the food given. It's rare. We want to take everything, receive everything, and don't even say thanks. At least with our hearts. Lip service is cheap, but heart service is deep.